there's a lot to it. I'm looking forward to. I think that the Raiders are going to be more difficult than people may have imagined when the schedule came out or after you finished watching Hard Knocks.
That's like, for sure.
This is a clown.
Or even after week one, you know, I mean, like that. But that defense is bad. It gives up a lot of big plays, and that offense doesn't hit a lot of big plays. I just, at the end of this, tomorrow, Sunday afternoon, it should all end with yet another Khalil Mack coronation.
Like sure.
That's how the math works out here. That's how it ought to go.
Does John Gruden, just out of sheer Grudenness, say, no, we're a single block him. We don't have to worry about Khalil Mack. We're going to single block him up.
He will a couple times. I guarantee it.
That would be awesome.
I guarantee
it. It would be great if he did that.
That's going to make for a really fun Sunday.
Because that's what his brother did. Uh-huh. That's what Jay did. Jay was like, oh, we'll just, you can handle him, right, big guy? No.
I can't.
Help me.
Yeah, but what that's doing to make stars out of so many of these other guys, I mean, and not to take anything away from Nick Williams and Roy Robertson Harris or anybody else who gets to take advantage of less attention than one might otherwise receive, but whatever you want, just him being there makes the pass rush in general something that is inexorable and inevitable.
Who would you say is the definitive last badass on a Bears defense? Urlacher is the last definitive.
He didn't really play in the same. When you say those defenses were passive, Urlacher was running backwards and he was great at doing
and side to side.
Yeah, he's great at doing his job, but people weren't afraid.
I don't know. I think people were afraid of Brian. I know what you're saying.
I mean, Peanut Tillman.
They were afraid of what he could do, but not how he'd go do it.
Not in the
Does
kind
that make
of
sense?
Yeah, not in kind of the old school snarling, spitting middle linebacker way.
So is it Tommy Harris?
Oh, Julius Peppers could wreck a game.
Oh yeah,
Julius.
You're right. That's stupid. It's Julius Peppers.
I mean, if you think back to some of the really good defenses, there's also a guy who gets short shrift for having a year that he had when he was really good at his job was Wally Ogunleye, who while Nathan Vasher was running free, you know, terrorizing Jake Delhomme, when he was timing up the snap and things were going well for him, and that he was outstanding.
I like the call on Tommy Harris too for the 3-year stretch.
Because that was
there was a point where I remember watching a play where he's double blocked, he beats it, and then it was one step to the quarterback.
Well, everybody,
and I was like, oh my god, like.
Yeah, the speed.
How is that possible? Like, how do you do that?
Everybody talks so much about that defense and how it needed a Brian Urlacher to cover that space and to, you know, get into that drop and stuff. And that's all true, but it also needed that guy at that particular position, that particular set of scheme with that kind of speed.
Anthony Heron said it really well, too, that making sure from the snap you're gaining ground. That's what Roy Robertson Harris did on his sack as well. That it's what they did to the Vikings all day. Every one of those guys, it wasn't just engage.
Right.
They were winning whatever space there was early. They were in it right off the snap. They're eating up space. And if you are keeping your feet moving forward with every movement, like you say, it's like I saw with Robertson Harris, like, he's already there. Look how long he made himself because of the forward lean, because of the forward explosion. It's not just like move side to side, engage him while his arms are moving. The feet never stop. Next thing you know, by the time you get done with the punch and the counter, you're 5 yards deep.
Yeah, it's not just muddle up the gap.
Right.
It's let's actually gain ground and let's make a move on this guy to make them uncomfortable. It's not like, okay, I've controlled my gap, and now I'm just going to wait to see where the ball carrier is, and I'll make a tackle.
Eddie Goldman's more than controlling two gaps.
I'm going to destroy your gap, and now I'm going to kill your quarterback.
Eddie had a shed last week that was just mammoth. I think he makes the stop on Dalvin Cook on it. He sheds off to his right. Like, takes one dude and passes him with an arm, bodies up the next guy, then gets the running back. I can't remember where. I want to say it was like Olin's Twitter feed or something like that, just showering some praise on Eddie Goldman. But my God, has he been good.
Well, with Khalil, and you're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670, The Score, Radio.com, Sports Station. It's the line from the Avengers. Well, well, we have a Mac. Like that's how it feels. It feels like if you bring it back to like the high school days, it's like, oh, that guy just got off the bus. Oh my God. That's not good for us.
Go home now.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yes. And I don't know. Maybe Julius is the last guy that you're thinking that way with a Bears defense. Like, oh, they have a Peppers. And then he's going to eat your face and then run down the field.
It's that he doesn't look it, though. The thing about Mac is just the strength that you don't see coming because he's not one of these massive hulking figures like that.
There's something to the idea of he doesn't really talk about it a lot other than that one feature that he did. But I do think that there's something to adding all of the ingredients that he already has with the yoga because his bend is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Watching him split doubles, get low, then explode up
while his feet are moving the entire time.
It's uncanny.
He doesn't have to stop to use his power.
It's not mechanical. You know what I mean? Like it's all of it is this fluid motion to, oh, you're doing that. It's like Neo with the Matrix. Once he finally figures things out and it's like, oh, I can just kind of, I'll just do the one arm fighting with you guys now. And and then when I decide, I'll just explode and that'll be that.
Stop a bullet over here. Stop a bullet. Is it Sunday yet?
It's not.
Is it? Oh God, I need a towel off. I think this is all been very
it's good. It's good football conversation. That is Bernstein and McKnight. They are here every day, 9 a.m. until noon. I am Lawrence Holmes. I am here every day until 2 o'clock. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets, you can get them to go see Chicago's Big Ten team, are on sale now at nusports.com. It's also being brought to you by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street out in Oak Lawn. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I feel like there's this, like he's the avatar for disciplinarian manager. People are like, yeah, these pampered babies, they need Joe Girardi to go in there and scream at them. I don't even know if Joe Girardi screams at people.
You're going to hold them accountable.
Right.
Then continue to let them play.
Right. I'm going to hold you accountable, John Lester.
I declare bankruptcy!
When am I pitching next? On your schedule, in the next 4 days.
Hey, I just wanted you to know that you can't just say the word bankruptcy and expect anything to happen.
I didn't say it. I declared it. Still.
I am going to hold you accountable, Addison Russell. Okay, we're going to send you to the minors. But then when Javi gets hurt, we're going to need you to come back so you can play shortstop. Ian Happ, we're going to hold you accountable. All right, fine. Who's going to play second? We don't know, but somebody will do it. It'll be Descalso, him, that guy.
Make me a bicycle clown.
And as we said yesterday, Daniel Descalso did finish the season with a lower on-base plus slugging than John Lester. Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a couple of great guests for you today from our own staff. Is Grody going to be in studio or is he at Hallis Hall? No, he'll be on the phone or at the Starbucks.
It's a bit of a commute from London.
Oh, he's already there? Oh, I thought that the Starbucks that he put the video from. Oh, damn. I didn't know that. Fantastic. We're going to talk with Mark Grody before he heads out for dinner in London. We'll do that coming up in about 20 minutes. Matt Spiegel is going to be here in studio with me, and I have assigned Matt Spiegel a particular team to talk about. I want to talk to him about your Chicago White Sox.
Don't stop believing. Woo!
So we are going to do kind of a season in review with Spiegs, the host of Hit and Run, about the White Sox. So if you wanted your White Sox coverage, you're going to get it at 1 o'clock.
Are we allowed to stop believing for like the week after the season's over?
Yeah, this is probably a good time to. Now, you know what? Like, I feel like going out of the season, you probably believe a little bit more The time to stop believing was the beginning of August.
I mean, isn't there like a refractory period, though?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because you were believing up until the All-Star break, because they were 42 and 44.
That's the point of the song. Don't stop.
And then you looked up, and it was like September, and you're like, they still only have 60 wins? Wait a minute. What happened? Why have they been stuck on 60 wins?
Don't stop.
Yeah!
Believe it.
And then they ended up doing all right. And
they fired Todd Steverson.
They did fire Todd Steverson. Trick. They fired him. The hitting coach was the problem. You had guys having great years on the hitting side.
White Sox tradition.
I can't be mad at Todd Steverson because Adam Engel can't hit. Can I? Am I allowed to?
Does all the bunting go to him?
Don't you start with me. Don't. See, look, I did a podcast yesterday with Herbie about the White Sox right before, like, we put it up right before Steverson got fired. We ended up going down a rabbit hole of talking about bunting and Ricky Renteria. It's worth your time. It's the LoHo Daily from yesterday. It's worth your time because we both got really mad. And I'll talk with Spiegel about this in probably more measured tones than I would with me and Herbie just trapped in a room talking about the White Sox.
But for right now,
don't stop.
Yeah!
Believe it.
Woo! So Matt Spiegel is going to join me at 1 o'clock to talk about the White Sox. Okay. And I'm going to try not to get mad. I can't tell you.
Sox and the Bulls, man.
I can tell you this. The one thing that I did say on the pod, and I will stand by it, the time for White Sox patience is now over for me. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm not sitting here like, no, 2021. No, fam. We were promised jetpacks, and the jetpacks better arrive here next year. That's all I'm saying.
Careful with the wanting of jetpacks. We wanted Bears jetpacks. We didn't get those.
You got it. And then you found out one of them was defective. I think. Maybe. We still honestly really don't know, but it has been 30 games. All right. Anyway, we are derelict in our duties. It's time for us to start the rundown.
Hey, you know what? Do you have a rundown that I could take a look at just so I know what the rundown you're looking for?
Just keep it simple.
Keeping it simple. That's what I'm doing.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Thursday, October 3rd. Let's start in wild card action last night. There was never really a moment when I felt like Oakland had a chance against the Rays because the Rays just kept hitting home runs.
So Yandy Diaz is announced to lead things off for the Rays. Diaz with the ball well hit to right field. Laureano back. He looks up and that one is gone. Yandy Diaz opens the top of the first with a solo home run.
It has, after all, been the year of the home run in Major League Baseball. To kind of add on to what Jason and Mike and Eduardo were talking about. Same swing, same ball, same result. Yandy Diaz did it again.
Highlight courtesy of ESPN yesterday. Was I the only one that was like, oh, look, Marcus Semien had a great year this year. And Avisaíl Garcia found some power.
Yeah, that was me. I was like, oh, Avi, look at him.
Yeah, you just realized that he was on the team.
On the team. Yeah, I was like, yeah, there he is.
That's where Avi landed. Good for him.
You're saying they developed away from the Sox?
Look, we're not doing this.
Don't stop.
Yeah! We are not doing that today. Spiegel's going to come in here and set us straight about the future of your Chicago White Sox. Oh, great. Perfect. Let's talk about the Bulls. Perfect. Here's Wendell Carter Jr. talking about his ankle injury.
It was just a little, I stepped on someone's foot, just twisted a little bit, but I'm fine now.
You were able to go all
practice? Yeah, I was able to go all practice, yeah. Honest to God, like right now, it doesn't hurt at all. Like, I stepped on someone's foot, the adrenaline was going, so it hurt it real bad at the moment, but, you know, this morning I felt good. I was walking around my crib good.
Okay. All right.
Captain Positive over here didn't even play the most positive Wendell Carter cut.
Which was?
The one where he talked about the surgery and how he'd had some pain from the time he was 15 years old, and this is the best he's felt since then.
Oh, okay. And he's got 6% body fat right now, so.
That's my guy, Wendell.
Well, you got him. You got him. Chris Dunn had some thoughts. All right, Tony, stop the music for a second. Do we really, in all honesty, need a Chris Dunn talking about the point guard competition? Because I feel like there are two guys that are going to play more point guard than he is.
I can guarantee you I know why it's in the rundown.
Okay. All right.
No. I want to say why, though.
Okay.
Because at the media day, who was the person that asked about the point guard competition to Jim Boylan?
Tony Gill.
He knows me better than I know myself. I didn't even know that.
Okay, all right, then let's put the music back up.
Oh, I'm not saying it's justified. I'm just saying that's why he did it.
Let's hear from Chris Dunn.
I think, you know, just going against each other is just going to make us better. You know, everybody on the team is talented. You know, the point guard position is talented. I think it's just overall it's just going to make us better.
Yeah, we probably could have done without it for future reference. And again, I think there's going to be two guys that are playing more point guard than Chris Dunn is going to be playing point guard. We'll see. The Bears leave tonight for London. That's what threw me off. I thought Grody was still here. They leave tonight for London. Roquan Smith practiced yesterday. He said that he's going to play. Here's what Matt Nagy said.
Yeah, so today he's going to be a full go for practice. And, that's definitely a good thing. And we're just, again, I'm going to keep going back to the personal side. And that's the issue that we're at right now. So we are happy that he will be full go today. And it's going to be more of a day-to-day thing for us with him.
Tell us what went into the decision to make him full go.
No, again, I'm not going to, I just, it's out of pure privacy on this subject matter. So I'm really not going to get into anything.
Is that a good indication of his ability to go Sunday, though?
Again, I we'll see. You know, yeah, it's just a part of this process that we're in right now.
Are you okay with him being on the sideline for Sunday's game?
Just because of, that's the decision that we made, you know, so it's personal and, that's where we're at. I'm not going to just keep going. The whole thing with Roquan, I know that I'll say this, and I said it to you guys the other day, as far as understanding where y'all are coming from, I totally get that. But hopefully you guys can respect me and respect us and where we're at and how we're handling this thing. And there's some privacy to this, and that's all that we're asking. That's why I'm giving you the answers that you're getting. It's nothing personal for you guys or towards you guys, but it is a personal issue that we're going to leave it at that.
Can I help Matt Nagy at least on that last part? Here's the answer to that question. Why was he on the sideline? Because he's a member of our team and we support him. Period. Like, we thought the best thing for Roquan was to be on the sideline with us on Sunday, and that's why he was there. So, you know, whenever they want me to come help out at Hallis, I can for a consultant's fee, a large one. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk with our buddy Mark Grody, who will be joining us from London. We'll find out what he's seen, what he's hearing, who he's talking to. We got all sorts of great stuff coming up on the show today, including conversations about Cubs management, a piece of sound that I was hip to by Olin Krutz that I need to share with you, and White Sox chatter with Matt Spiegel. That's coming up at 1. More Bears conversation is coming up next. My name is Lawrence Holmes. The crew, Tony, Campy, we rock this from noon to 2 every day on The Score.
Have a smart speaker at home? It's easy to listen to The Score. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com and stream The Score live from your smart speaker instantly.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. It was 90 degrees in Washington, D.C. yesterday, remarkable for the first day of winter. It's winter because the calendar says hockey season started last night with four NHL games, the first Ottawa-Toronto, the most significant Washington's team, the Caps, in St. Louis. That was a matchup of the last two Stanley Cup champions. Their victories among the reasons hockey's cool, both literally and figuratively. The Caps won the Cup two seasons ago in their 43rd season. Last spring, the Blues finally won the Cup in their 51st season. If those numbers seem off, no one won the Cup in the lost season of 2005. The fact that two franchises that had wandered the no-titles desert for so long could finally hoist a Cup is a credit to hockey's balance. The celebration in Washington lasted for months. The Blues were dead last in the league in January. They lifted the Cup in June. The banner joyously last night. Yep, it's winter. I'm John Feinstein.
Do you have...